Today's daf is Chulin Daf Ayin. We're at the Mishnah on Daf Samech Tes Amid Beis. We're moving along in the fourth perek in Masechtas Chulin Perek Behema HaMekashim. The perek began with a halacha that discusses somebody was shechting a behema chulin, a female behema that had an uber inside of it. The halacha is, we learn out from a pasuk in Parsha Shmini that v'chol behema, etc., ba behema, oisa tachelu, that even though the uber is technically a life unto itself, but at the same time, the shechita of the mother would work for the child. So you wouldn't have to do a special shechita for the uber. And the Mishnah discussed what happens if before the mother gave birth to this uber, one of the evarim of the uber left the mechitza, left the rechem of the mother. If it was the yad, if it was the roish, if it was a chzira, machlokes, rav and rab yoichanan, a lot of gemaras, a lot of lamdas. Either way, the gemara is going to digress a little bit, me'inyin le'inyin, ba'oseh. This was an animal that was giving birth. She was mekasha lele. She was in labor. But what was unique was is the child that she was going to have was going to be her first child. In other words, it was going to be a bechar. It was a kosher animal. An animal where the halacha is that the firstborn child has kedusha. The Torah says in Parashas Re'eh, "Kol ha-bechor hashe yivoleid b'fkarcha uvetzoincha ha-zachar taktish la-Hashem elokecha li-savli b'fkar sheirecha v'lo-yisag l'z'bechar tzeinecha." Bechor has kedusha. It's one of the karbonos that were brought on the Mizbeach. It was one of the matnas kuna that had to be given to the Kohen. So this is a baby that's about to be born. It's an animal, a kosher animal. It's a male. So we're at the verge of having kedushas bechar. What happened? The owner of the bechar, the owner of the animal, now wants to go inside and wants to cut one of the limbs of the uber. And apparently this was sometimes done just to make the birth of go a little bit more geschmirt, be a little bit easier for the mother. So the question is, can he do it or can he not do it? The Torah says very clearly, as it relates to a bechar, lo yisavli b'bchar sheirech, lo yisagluz b'bchar tzeinecha, certainly you're not let it be matul mum b'kachim of kanzo bar kanzo vein. So the question is, it okay? Is it okay for the shoychet to stick his hand now into the animal and be mechatech an aver so that the childbirth will go a little bit smoothly, says the Mishnah. Yeah, mechatech aver. Not just that, a mashach l'klav, you can take this aver and you can now feed it to the dogs. The point of the Mishnah is that as long as the baby wasn't born yet, it doesn't have any kedushas bechar. If there's no kedushas bechar, there's no problem of being matul mum bekachim. Additionally, there's no kedusha to the aver. As a result, if you want, you can be mashach l'klav. If, however, you would assume that there was kedusha on the uber, then the halacha would be you cannot be mechatech ever because you'd be matam u'mekachim, and obviously you wouldn't be able to give it to the dogs because we know from Masechtas Vachim there's a whole shulchan aruch of how you have to treat kachim, even kachim right now that you can't put on the mizbech. So in other words, what the Mishnah is saying is mechatech ever u'mashach leklovim, that there's no kedusha while it's on the uber. Why not? Because what does the Torah say? Kol ha-becher ashe yivoleid. You need leida, and there was no leida yet. Being that there was no leida, it's not going to be a problem. Yotzer ruba, if however roiv of the baby already emerged, says Rashi, Yotzer Rubai Keachas, in one shot, then the halacha is, Hareza you cover. Then you can't just go ahead and stop being mechatech. At this point, you can't be mashlechit leklovim, but rather you cover, you have to bury it, you have to treat it like kachim. Additionally, even if teres but not bechar, the next animal that's going to be born is not going to be the bechar, because being that the first one was Yotzer Rubai, so the first one's considered the bechar. If the first one's the bechar, nifteres but not bechar, the second one is not going to be bechar. Incidentally, Rashi legs su, and Rashi says that even if the bechar, the first one, wasn't yotza rubai bevasachas, but it was yotza ever, but eventually it accumulated to roiv, that would also be enough to say nifteres mena bechar, but we're not going to get into that. Either way, the point of the Mishnah is that until the bechar is yotzer rubai, there is no kedushas bechar, because the Torah says kol ha-bechar ashe yivoleid bevkarcho v'tzoyncho. You need the leida. As a result, when it's an uber, there's no kedusha yet. You can be mechatech ever, you can be mashlechit leklovim. It's only when it's yotzer rubai, that's when we look at it as leida. Why is roiv? Because rubai is kekuloi, roiv is always considered. Roiv of a revi is roiv of a share. It's always roiv. So as a result, rubai kekuloi says that if roiv of it came out, that's when we look at leida. So this idea is the backdrop for the first half of the daf, which again is a very lumdish daf. Zok de Gemara, lumdish number one. Itma yotza shlish. So we said that the definition of leida as it relates to Bechar is roiv of the animal was already born. What happens if a third of the animal went out, umachr levi kechavim, and the owner of the Bechar sold it to a guy, v'chazav yotza shlish, and now another third came out. So that when the second third emerged, it comes out that you already have two thirds of the animal that emerged. If two thirds of the animal emerge, you have roiv. So the question is, what happens to this bechar? Does it have kedusha? Does it not have kedusha? Funa makadosh. Rav Huna says it's kedusha. Rabbi Ami ain't a kadosh. Rabbi says there's no kedusha. Funa makadosh. Rav Huna says it's kedusha because of the mafreya kadosh. He holds that when you say that roiv of the animal is born, it constitutes leida, and now this kedusha's bechar because it was a bechar. The kedusha's chal mafreya. The kiven the nafik lei ruve. So once roiv came out, igloy milsel mafreya the mikare have a kadosh. The kedusha was already from the tchilas aleido, umaydes oven like klum's oven, so that when he sold it to a guy, there was no mechira. As a result, this kedusha. Rabba Amar Rabba says ain't a kedusha, that there is no kedusha. Because savim mekanu labo kedusha. It's true that the leido and the kedusha is chal once you have roiv of the animal emerging. But when roiv emerges, it's not chal the kedushas bechor lemafreya, but rather it's chal mekanu lahaba umaydes oven shapres oven. As a result, whatever you sold was a good mechira. So what's going on here? A lot of lumdisha terminology. So what's happening? So two things. Number one, the halacha is, as it relates to Bechar, that the only time an animal's firstborn offspring has Kedushas Bechar is if the animal was owned exclusively by a Yid. If, however, there's any non-Jewish partner, the halacha is, it knocks out the entire Kedushas Bechar. It's what's known as Yad Nochri Be'emtza. It's the first sugya Masechtas Becharis. This is Becharis 101. It's Becharis Da'beis. That's why you have the famous Tosfos in Becharis Da'beis Amad Beis, where Tosfos talks about making a Shutfos with an Ovid Keichavim, and if the Ovdei Kechavim of nowadays, the knights from Arav, Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they're not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The Ramah brings it in Erech Chaim and the famous Shuvos Neidei Yehuda that we spoke about so many times when we learn Masechtas Sanhedrin, Masechtas Avodah Zarah. It's based on Rabbeinu Tam's famous Shita that today the knights from are not considered Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Where did Rabbeinu Tam say it? He said it twice. He said it in Avodah Zarah that base, he said it in Becharis that base. Where does it come into Becharis that base? Because Becharis that base talks a lot about Ovdei Kechavim, because the way to circumvent Hilchas Bechar is to have a non Jewish partner. If he's non-Jewish, now there's a Yad Nachri Be'emtza, that's your way of getting out of Bechar. So essentially what happened here was, this Bechar was Yotza Shlish, one Aver came out, there's no Kedushas Bechar yet, because when is it Chal the Kedushas Bechar? When there's right, it was only one third, a few of its Avarim came out. He sold it to a guy. So in theory, by selling it to a non-Jew at this point right now, now you have a Yad Nachri Be'emtza, so even if another third comes out, technically, you'll never have Kedushas Bechar. But here's the Shaila. The Shaila is when the second third emerges. So right now you have a Leda. So now, Roiv of the baby emerged from its mother. Now it's going to be Chal Kedushas Bechar. Nothing to talk about. Indisputable. The question is it Chal Mafreya from the beginning of the Leda? Or is it not Chal Mafreya? Do we say that once Roiv of the animal emerges, now it's Chal Kedushas Bechar retroactively from the time that the first Aver emerged? Or no, when Roiv emerges, now it's Chal Kedushas Bechar, at this very second. The Nafka Mina is, if in the interim, from the beginning of the Leida, until when two-thirds of it, we're just using two-thirds loosely as being the right, technically it's 51%, but from the beginning of the Leida until two-thirds emerged, if you sold it to a non-Jew, what's the halacha? If the Kedushas Chal Mafreya, once two-thirds comes out, so it comes out of Mafreya, it was belonged to the Kayan. It had Kedushas Bechar. You had no right to sell it. As a result, it's going to be Kaddish. If, however, it's Mikanu Lahaba, once two-thirds emerge, now it's Chal Kedusha, not Mafreya. Now it's Chal Mikanu Lahaba. Could it be Chal Mikanu Lahaba? No. Because if it doesn't work Mafreya, that means whatever you did, Mitchilas Leida, until two-thirds emerged, is effective. What did you do in this case? You sold it to a non-Jew. Now you have a non-Jewish partner. Once you have a non-Jewish partner, all bets are off. At this point, it can't be chal. So Zok de Gemara, Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says Kadosh. Rabba Amar, Enei Kadosh. Rav Huna Amar Kadosh. Let's see it inside again. Kosovar he holds L'mafreya Kadosh. That once two-thirds of the animal emerges, it's chal L'mafreya. V'kiven the nafak le'rubei. So once Roiv of the animal emerges, igloy milsa L'mafreya. So now it's a
Gilui retroactively to be kara have a kaddish umayd the oven. So at the time that you sold the like kum's oven, you had no right to sell. Rabba Marabba says any kaddish, there is no kedusha kasavim mikanu lahabo kaddish. When the 2/3 emerge, it's chal kedusha only mikanu lahabo. Umayd the oven shabbos oven. As a result, what you sold was a good mechira. Comes out, you have this non-Jewish partner. Thus, you're not going to have any kedushas b'char. Says the Gemara of Azdul Tamar. This machloikis, Rabba and Ravuna, whether the kedushas b'char is chal lemafrei mekano lahaba, you find that they argued in another context, and thus the positions that they had respectively are litamayu, are lishitosayu. The itmar, what's this other instance where they argue the same machloikis? Yotzah shlishterech toifin. We know the only time an animal has kedushas bachar is if the animal was born naturally. If, however, it was born Caesarean, then the halacha is it doesn't have kedushas bachar. The reason is very simple, because the Torah, when it defines bachar, says kadeshli called peterechem. Peterechem literally means the animal or the child that opens up the womb of its mother. If it's not born peterechem, there isn't going to be kedushas bachar. So what happens if the first third of the animal came out derech doifen, Caesarean, v'shnei shlishi derech rechem, and then the other 2/3 came out derech rechem? Does it have kedushas b'char? Does it not have kedushas b'char? Rafuna amein kadosh. Ravuna said there's no kedusha. Rabba amar kadosh. Rabba says there is kedusha. Rafuna amein kadosh. Ravuna said there's no kedusha. Rafuna l'tamei damal mafreya kadosh. So Rafuna l'shitase that says that once the animal emerges roif, it's chal the kedusha l'mafreya from when the first aver left. V'ruba kamo lesa berechem. So this is a little bit of a stretch in Lumbus, Ayin Rashi, and Ayin Be Achroinen, and Be Achroini Achroinim. But we'll just go through the Gemara Pashup Shah. And that is, if Rav Huna holds the Mafreya, then the way you look at the Mafreya is, you have to look at the first Aver that ever emerged, and see how it emerged. And being that the first third of the animal, let alone the first Aver, the first third of the animal was born Derech Doifen, and when it's born Derech Doifen, it doesn't have any Kedushas Bechar. It's for that reason, in this case, it's going to be Enei Kaddish. Rabba Amar Kaddish. Rabba says that just because the first third was born Derech Doifen doesn't bother me, being that the second 2/3 were born naturally. And the reason is, it's Rabba L'Tamei, Rabba L'Shitasi, Dama Mikanu L'Haba Kaddish. He holds that Kedushas Bechar is Chal Mikanu L'Haba. V'ruba Derech Rechem Nafik. So I don't have to look back at each individual Eidah. I could wait until the baby is fully born, and now I could ask myself, does it have a Leidah that should beget Kedushas Bechar or not? 2/3 of it were born Derech Rechem, only 1/3 of it was born Derech Doifen. As a result, it's going to have Kedushas Bechar. So the Gemara says that somehow, whether you have to look at the first third or not, should be totally the machlokes Rav Huna and Rabba. According to Rav Huna, that lamafreya, you have to look at the first third. According to Rabba, that it's mikado lahaba, you don't have to look at the first third. So what you could do is look at the big picture. I have 2/3 of Leidah Derech Rechem. That's enough to say that you can have the halachas of Bechar. In other words, it's the same machloikis Rabba and Rav Huna, albeit in a different context. Again, we have a machloikis Rabba and Rav Huna, lamdusha machloikis. When we say that a baby, in order for it to have kedushas Bechar, needs to be born, quote unquote, kala b'chayra sheyivale, and the definition of born is roif. Why? Because rubei kekulai, it's always roif. What happens when roif the baby is born? Do we say that l'mafreya now, from the time that its first aver emerged from its mother, at that point already, it was Chal Kedusha. Now, when the first Aver emerged, it wasn't Roiv yet. So in real time, nothing happened. But in the world of the Mafreya, retroactive, once Roiv comes out, we say that the Kedusha now dates back to when the first Aver emerged, or no, or it's only Nikano Lahabo. And really what we have is a Machloikis, the Kula and the Chumra, both ways, depending on if you hold the Mafreya or if you hold the Mikano Lahaba. The first case was where you sold a little bit, you sold a shlish to a non-Jew when a little bit emerged before Roiv of it emerged. The question is, does that Mechira go into effect and say that there's a Yad Nochri B'Amtzi, you're not going to have Kedushas Bechar or not? Rav Huna said the Mafreya, thus the Kedushas Chal Mafreya, you weren't a Bailim to sell to a guy, so the Bechar is going to have Kedusha because the Mechira doesn't go into effect. Rav Huna says Mikano Lahaba is going to go into effect. The other Nafkamina would be in the reverse. What happens if the first third went out Derech Doifin and then only the second third will pet? According to Rav Huna, that holds Le Mafreya, you are not going to have Kedusha because you have to look at the first third, and the first third went out Derech Doifin. According to Rabba, that it's Mikano Lahaba, you are. So, in
according in one tzir, Rav Huna is going to be the machmer, Rav is going to be the mekel, and the other tzir, Rav is going to be the machmer, Rav Huna is going to be the mekel, says the Gemara Vitzricha. And that's precisely, that's the segue, that's precisely why we needed both tzirim to establish the machloikis between Rabba and Rav Huna, because otherwise you could have made the following mistake. Had we only had the first machloikis, had Rabba and Rav Huna only argued their respective positions in the case of Yatsa Shlishul Machloik Yechavim, I would have thought Baha Kamar Rav Huna. Maybe it's only over there. Rav Huna said, Esalacha Kadosh, Mishum de Lekula. What's Mishum de Lekula mean? Says Rashi, because there, if he would have held like Rabba and held Mikano Lahaba, it would come out of Kula in a Kadosh. So you would have thought that maybe Rav Huna only said Esalacha of the Mafreya, because he doesn't want to be Mekel. Because he wants to say that L'chumra, you have to hold the Mafreya. So L'chumra, I'm going to say that it's Kadosh L'mafreya. Avo Bahach, but in the second Machloik is the L'chumra, where it would be a Chumra to hold like Rabbah. Maybe over there we would hold like Rabbah. V'yit ma Baha. And if we only had the second Machloik is, I would have thought Baha come out Rabbah. Maybe Rabbah only said as Allah in the second Machloik is, where Rabbah comes out the Machmer. Avo Baha, but in the first case, where Rabbah is the Mekel, Eme Moidele the Rabbuna, Zakhti Gemara, Tzricha. That's why you need both cases. The bottom line is, the reason we have both cases is to show that Rabbah and Rav Huna didn't just say their respective halachas l'chumra. Doesn't matter if it's l'chumra, doesn't matter l'kula. In one case, Rabbah is the machmer, Rav Huna is the meikel. In the other case, it's in the reverse. So we needed both cases just to show that this has nothing to do with kulas and with chumra. Says the Gemara, Tanan, Mishnah said, Hamavakeres, Hamakasha Lele. So what was the halacha of the Mishnah? You had a mother that's about to give birth to her first child, to a bechor. So we said the halacha is that you're allowed to go in, you're allowed to remove some evarim. The reason is because as long as it's in the mother's womb, it's not kadosh yet, kedushas bechor. You need kol bechor asher yivaleh, and you can even give it to the dogs. So the Gemara says, my lab mechatech amaniyah. When we say you can feed it to the dogs, does it mean you cut one aver at a time and feed it to the dog? Or does it mean you can cut, as long as it's an aver at a time? It was never yatzar ruboy, there was never a leda. Leave it around, put it away in your deep freezer, and then eventually you'll give it to the dogs. Is that okay as well? So the Gemara says, it sounds like it. I mean, it doesn't say otherwise. It sounds like you can cut an aver at a time. You could end up with roiv of the avarim sitting in your freezer and feed it to the dogs. The Gemara says, why? You cover me by the way. In other words, if you me kanu lahaba. So I understand why this is okay. As long as you remove it aver, it's never going to be chal kedushas bechar. Because it's understood, this is important, that the only time it can be chal kedushas bechar is if the animal is intact. But if the animal, if you have a part of the animal that's detached from the animal at the time that it has to be chal kedushas bechar, there's no way kedushas bechar is going to be chal on a detached aver. So if you hold that the kedusha happens mikanu lahaba, so when you have roiv, it's in your freezer, it's all wrapped very, very nicely, it's not attached to an animal anymore, so it's moving, why there's no kedusha? So mechatech ever, umaniach, and then afterwards a mashal chaklav. But according to Rav Huna, when roiv emerges, when is the kedusha chal? It's chal mikano lahaba? No. It's chal mafreya. What does the mafreya mean? From the moment that the ever emerged from the animal. It was attached to the animal at that time. So even though right now it's detached, but really the kedusha is not being chal now, it's going to go back to when it emerged, at that point it was attached. So if that's the case, once it's yotzer roiv, l'chayrit should be chal kedusha on the entire animal. So why is it okay to be mechatech u'meniach? And for the Mishnah it's mashma, you could be mechatech u'meniach. So the Gemara says, loy. Even though from the Mishnah, from the stima of the Mishnah, it seems a little that way, but it's really not mechatech u'mashach. When the Mishnah says that it's okay to be mechatech and to feed it to the dogs, it means you have to be mechatech ever at a time, and then feed it to the dogs. But you can't be mechatech accumulated until you have a roiv, and then feed it to the dogs. Just once you have a roiv, as long as the evarim are around, it's going to be chal kedushas bechor l'mafreya from the time it emerged, even while it was still attached to the rest of the animal, and as a result, you're going to have a problem of feeding an animal that has kedushas bechor to dogs. But the Gemara says, so if that's the case, you're making a bigger kimta. You're telling me that the only time it's okay to be mechatech and be mashlech l'klavim is if it's you don't have the roif.
But if you're going to be mechatech, leave it around to the point that you have a roiv, ma you cover. Then you're going to have to bury it. Then it's going to have kedusha. That's the case. The sefer, the Mishnah mentioned the case where you can't feed it to the dogs. What was the sefer? Adatan the sefer yotzer ruba you cover. Case was if roiv of it emerged in once. So there the halach is you cover even if the man becher. Why do you have to jump to such a case? Luflik v'listen a bit today. We can give a bigger chiddush. But medvar mamur be mechatech mashal ever ever. Avam mechatech meniach you cover. That the only time it's okay to be mechatech ever and give it to the dogs. That's if you're not going to leave it around. You're not going to have roiv at once. But in the event that you're going to cut it and now have roiv, now you can't give it. So why are we jumping? If you want to tell me a case when you can't give it to the dogs, if roiv came out at once, even if roiv didn't come out at once, even if it emerged ever, ever, still it's going to not be okay in the event that you were mechatech meniach. So l'chayra, it's a raya to rabba, it's a kasha. Rav Huna the Gemara says, "Nahachi nami kama." Really, Rav Huna can learn the Mishnah that way. And the Mishnah says, "B'met var mamur mechatech mashlich." This is a chasure mechser of a hachitani. Rav mechatech meniach nasa kemisha yatzaruba v'yikaver. You're right. Maybe that's really what the Mishnah meant. The Mishnah meant to say that as long as the uber's inside, roiv of it didn't emerge, you could be mechatech and you could give it to the klavim. If, however, you're giving mechatech meniach, then it's going to be as if the whole thing emerged bevatachas. Why? Because the kedusha is chalam afreya, and at that point, it's not going to be okay. We're not ready to excel yet. But Rava cleared another shayla. Holchu bevarim achar haroy v'loy. Do you go basar roif when it comes to defining whether an aver is inside the animal or outside the animal? Or loy holchu bevarim achar roif. Says the Gemara. Hey chidami, let's clarify the case. And the Gemara is going to have two attempts of what this case might be. Ilem kigun sheyotza roif. The miut aver is the case where we're trying to determine whether roiv of the animal emerged or roiv of the animal did not emerge. Okay, what's the difference if roiv emerged or not? If roiv emerged, then it's chal kedushas bechar. If roiv didn't emerge, it wasn't chal kedushas bechar yet. Very big difference. Could I be mechatech aver aver and be mashlichay leklovim? Do I have to bury them? I mean, there's nafkaminas, right? So the question is, we're trying to figure out, was it roiv or not roiv? This very close. So we have to really be ma'ayin to figure out whether you have roiv or not. So the Chachamim came and they're looking and they're being ma'ayin, and this is what they came out with. They said that you have roiv only if you take into account one aver, meaning you need that to establish the roiv. The problem is this one aver that we're using to establish the roiv, leda, is an aver that's partially inside, partially outside. The majority of it is inside. It's only a mid of it that's outside. And maybe this was the shayla. This was Rav Shaila. Coming by, hi miut de baroy. This miut that's outside. Basar roiv de aver shadinale. Do we say that being that it's a miut of an aver, and rubai the rule is always is kakulai. So we have to look at it really as if it's inside. Because roiv of its aver is inside, and if roiv of it is inside, if this miut is inside, and I need this miut to be mitzarev to what's outside to establish the roiv leida. I'm not going to have roiv leida. Or do we say, no, we're not going to put it basa the roiv of the aver. I'm going to put it basa the roiv of the uber. And the roiv of the uber is outside. Now, to be intellectually honest, the roiv of the uber is not outside. I need this miut to establish that the roiv should be outside. So really, in theory, right now, I don't have any roiv outside. And if I go basa roiv aver, roiv of it is going to be inside. But being that if I put it bit together with the uber, I will have roiv outside. So the Gemara holds this as a shayla. So again, the shayla is where I have roiv leida only if I'm mitzarif a miut of an aver, the roiv of which is inside. So how do I look at that miut? Do I go basa roiv of its own aver? In that case, it's inside. That means I don't have roiv outside. I'm not going to have a leida. There's no kedushas bechar. Or do I say that being that if I put the miut of this aver outside, I'll have roiv of the uber outside? So it makes more sense to put it together with the roiv of the uber than to put it based on the roiv of the aver. So maybe says the Gemara, this was Rav Shaila, right? The Gemara was not sure what Rav Shaila was. Rav declared a very general Shaila. Hochu beivar machar roiv, aloi hochu beivar machar roiv. And the Gemara is not sure what the Shaila was. Hey chidami, is this the Shaila? So the Gemara says, no, this could not have been the Shaila. You know why? Because Pshita says the Gemara. It's obvious. Which tzad? The loyshav, that's not obvious. The loyshav kin on ruba the uber vazlina basa roiv aver. It's poshut that you're going to go basa roiv of the uber and you're not going to go basa roiv of the aver. So even though this is the miut of an aver, the majority of which is inside, it's poshut that's not what you're going to do. You're going to look at the uber which is outside. You're going to attach it now to the Uber. We're going to say Rav of the Uber was born, and as a result, it's Pashat, this is going to be a way. Okay, so what was Rav Shailah? If this is Pshita, then this wasn't Rav Shailah. So the Marseille, if you're going to Yatza, the Shailah was similar. The case was where Chetzyoy came out B'Roy Vever. Right now, you have 50-50. Half of the animals inside and half of the animals outside. It's a perfect 50-50. But one of the Evarim that's outside is Rav of an Ever, and the Miut of that Ever is inside. What's the Shailah? Come you boy? Who miut the begavoy? The miut that's inside. Malu mishtayu basa roiv ever. Should I attach it to the roiv ever, which is outside, and therefore say that I have roiv of the animal outside, or not? Now over here, you don't have what the Gemara said earlier, the pshita. Why not? Because here there's no conflict. In the first attempt that the Gemara had to explain what Rabbi Shailah was, there seemed to be a conflict, a tug of war. On the one hand, I could look at it as being part of the Roiv Aver. On the other hand, I could look at it as being part of the Roiv Over. Over here, it's both. Over here, if I put the Miut of the Aver outside, it's going to be part of the Roiv of its Aver, which is outside, and the Roiv of the Uber, which is outside, because we'll establish that Roiv of the Uber is outside by putting the Miut outside. So either way, says the Gemara, that was Rava Shaila, says the Gemara Tashma, I'll bring you a raya from our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Yatzer, Rubai Arezi, you got first glance, the Mishnah didn't say anything about this, right? But we'll see what the Mishnah did say. Was something that it didn't have to say. And thus, you have the akroya seira, so to speak, in the Mishnah, and maybe it's coming to teach me Rava's halacha. The Mishnah said that if Rav of the animal emerged in one shot, the halacha is that Reza Yikover, then it has Kedusha. It says, my Rav, what does Rav mean? Ilay me Rubai Mamish. It doesn't mean literally there was Rav. Ad hashto layash me inon de Rubai Kakulai, Yishmak Elosh and Agamar. What? I had to wait until Chulin Daf Samech Tes to know the concept of Rubai Kakulai 6.5 years into Daf Yoimi. We know Rav. So, Lachaira, I have to wait until here to notice halacha. That doesn't make sense. El Allah must be the Mishnah's telling me a chiddush. What's the chiddush? The chiddush must be Rava's case, where half of it went out with Rav Eiver, and I need the miut. So Luchuri could be Poshe Rava Shaila. So the Mara says, lie. Maybe that's not what the case is. You're right. It's not telling me what the Mishnah seems to be telling me, because Ad Hashto Leyashmi Inam the Rubik Kekula. I don't have to wait until this Mishnah to know the halacha. Right? It's probably telling me a chiddush. What is the chiddush? The chiddush is Kigoyin Sheyatze Rubai Bemiut Eiver. The chiddush is what was pasha to the Gemara, the first attempt that we had in explaining what Rav Shailah was. The Kamash one, as much as the Gemara thought initially that it was Pshita, now the Gemara is being chayzer a little bit and saying that at the very least I need a Mishnah to teach me the halacha, the Le Shavkin, the Ruba, the Uba, the Behemoth, the Zibasa, the Ehem, because that's so pasha. Because in that case, there was a tug of war. Do I put the Miut with the Rav of the Aver? Do I put it with the Rav of the Uber? Kamash Malanda, you put it with the Rav of the Uber, not the Rav of the Aver. The point is at least worthy of a Mishnah to teach me this halacha. That wasn't Rav Shaila, though. I mean that wasn't Rav Shaila. Rav Shaila, you can't be patient. Rav Shaila was the second beer, not the first beer. The Mishnah that's teaching me a Chiddush, clearly, based on the Kriya Seir, could be the first beer, not the second beer, and now we can exhale. Either way, Zok to Gemara Vaita, boy, Rav. Another Shaila that Rav asked. Karchoi besiv mahu. So you have a behema hamivakeres hamikashalele. So this is a bechor that's about to give birth to a child. It's a bechor that fits into the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. This is Yontav waiting. Kol habechor asher yivoled bivkarcha uvitzoyncha hazocher taktish l'Hashem alikech. Why? Because the Torah says kadosh likol bechor peterech. So any animal that's Poiter, it's pete rechem of its mother, the halacha is it gets kedushas bechar. Now the definition of pete rechem is that it opens up the womb of its mother, right? And a fetus lives in a shilya, in an amniotic sac that's filled with liquid, which itself lives inside the womb. When the baby is ready to be born, the womb opens up. It goes through the birth canal, and the baby emerges. So clearly, Kedushas Bechar is related somehow to the fact that the animal is Peterechem. It opens up the womb, and it's the first to open up the womb. That's why even a Nephil, like we saw the other day, would make it that the baby that's born afterwards is not the Bechar. Because even though the Nephil, Rachman al-Islam, died, but at the same time, it was the Peterechem. The definition of Bechar as it relates to Kedushas Bechar is Peterechem. Either way, what happens if Karcha Besiv, so as this animal was about to be born, so the person that's doing the delivery wrapped the animal in Siv, that's palm best,
The point is, it wrapped it in a way that the animal never made direct contact with the rechem. So the question is it still considered pet the rechem, or is it not considered pet the rechem? The Gemara is going to explain in a minute how that's even possible. Vitalisai, or the one delivering this animal wrapped the animal in a talis, same shiloh. Bishulyasai, or wrapped it in an amniotic sac. Freit the Gemara, Bishulyasai, Urchayo. Every baby lives in an amniotic sac. I mean, that's natural. So the Gemara says, Ela Bishulyacheres. If you took the amniotic sac of another animal and you put it on this animal, it sounds like animal cloning, but you put it in another, it's not, I know. You put it into another things you do in a lab. Either way, in another amniotic sac, and then it came out that way. What's the halacha? Says the Gemara, Karchasai, V'achzazai, V'itziyasai, Mao. Or what happens if the person was able, the one delivering the animal, was able to wrap his or her hands around the animal to make sure that it never made direct contact with the pet rechem, so that maybe this, it's not chal kedushas bechar. But the Gemara says, hey chidami, how is this even possible? And the preface of hey chidami is that how it's understood that you can't just, the person would not be able to go into the womb of this animal and wrap the fetus. It's just not a physically possible thing. So you would need a little bit of leida to take place first. The animal would have to emerge a little bit. Once the animal merges and opens up the area, then already it's going to be possible. The problem is, once it opens up the area, now it's already peterechem. Someone says, hey, chidami, e de nofik derech reishe. If when the animal emerged a little bit, it emerged derech roishoy patrasei. At that point, it already opened up. So the Gemara says, "Oh, the novik derech margaloisa," right? Because we had in our Mishnah that once the roish comes out, that's already considered tiyolin. It's true in behema makasha lele. It's true in amav vakeres amakasha lele as well. So the Gemara says you have to say where it came out derech margaloisa of derech its feet. So that there, the only time it's considered leida is if it's roiv. That's the theme of today's daf. Yeah, only if it's rive. If it's only if it's rive. Before rive emerged, you didn't sell it to a guy. What you did was, is you quickly wrapped it. And then the question is, do you say that being that it was wrapped either in bast, or it was wrapped in a talis, or in another animal's amniotic sac, or you wrapped it with your hands, but somehow you enveloped the fetus that when it came out through the beis harechem, through this birth canal, it never made direct contact. Is that enough to say that there's no kedushas bechar, there's no peterechem or not? That is essentially the Gemara shaila. Another shaila. Bolus haychuldah. What happens if a weasel went into the rechem of the animal, swallowed the fetus, v'hoitziyasai, took it out? So the Gemara says, "Haitziyasai ha'afikte." Why is this shiloh different than all the other shilohs? I mean, it's the same shiloh. The shiloh is where it never made direct contact with the rechem. Either it was wrapped in a talis or it was in the mouth of a weasel. The Gemara says, "No. What happened was, balasai, the weasel swallowed it. Haitziyasai took it out of the mother. Ve'ichnisasai then brought it back in. Ve'hikiyasai and when it brought it back in, it spit it out. Ve'yotzamielov and then." The fetus was born naturally, mal. So do you say, being that it came out already, now it went back in some tzveitin mal, it's not considered pet rechem? Or no, l'maisa now, it just went out derech rechem. Hidbik shnei rechama v'yotzim yisev v'nichlas azem mal. Another shiloh. What happens if somebody took two animals, put them right next to each other, so that the two rechamim, the two wombs, were attached to each other? Now, the animal emerged from its mother's womb, went right into the next animal's womb, and then eventually left the second animal. What's the question? The question is, this second animal that didn't give birth to this child naturally, but did somewhat unnaturally, when it now has a natural child, will that natural child be a bechar or not? Do you say, what do you mean? Yeah, it's pet the rechem. Or no, this rechem was opened already. How was it opened? Because an animal had come from a different animal into its rechem. So maybe that was considered the pet the rechem. So when it has its own child, maybe that own child won't be pet the rechem. And the Gemara says regarding all the aforementioned shailas, teiku, boy, Rav Acha, another shailah, niftechu, koisle, beis harechem, mahu. What happens? So naturally, in order for an animal to emerge from its mother, so it's going to have to push, and the beis harechem is going to have to open, and it's going to go out through the beis harechem. What happens if niftechu koisle beis harechem? It opened up by itself, and then the animal was able to go out very, very smoothly, very naturally, to the point that the animal never made contact with the walls of the beis harechem. Is it considered pet harechem or not? Aver rechem makdish, do you say the aver of the rechem is what gives its kedusha vayirko? Or you don't want to gias rechem akacha? It actually has to touch the beis harechem. That's the birth canal. Volek, boy, my bravashi, another shayla nekru kaisel beis harechem mao. What happens if the whole beis harechem fell apart? Says the Gemara, nekru halesnu.
Meaning, it sounds like if there's no Beis HaRechem, then how did the animal emerge from, it must have been a C-section, or it must have come out some other way. So what's the Shiloh? The Gemara says, no. Ela nekru v'tolei b'tzavar. What happened was the Beis HaRechem slipped out of place, but now it hung, it suspended itself around the neck of the Uber. So in theory, the animal made contact with the Beis HaRechem, just not in the natural way. Usually, it leaves its mother via the Beis HaRechem. That's not what happened. What happened was the Beis HaRechem is attached to the Uber, so the Uber is in contact with the Beis HaRechem, but in this very unnatural way. The Shaila is b'mkoyma mekachi shlei b'mkoyma b'lei mekachi. Do we say that the Kedusha has to take place b'mkoyma, not otherwise there's no Kedusha, either b'shlei b'mkoyma n'ami mekachi. B'yimine Rabbi Yirmiyah me Rab Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah also asked the Shaila, and he asked the Shaila from Rab Zeira, nigmimu koisle Beis HaRechem al. What if the inner membrane, the inner layer of the Beis HaRechem got completely removed? So what's the Shaila? Do you say it still gets the Kedusha of Pate Rechem? Or not. It's in the rechem, it's making contact with the rechem, but not the part of the rechem that it usually makes contact with. Because the part of the rechem would be that outer area, the layer of the rechem that's typically exposed to the ober, and that part, that layer has been removed. So there's negiya, there's aver, but the negiya is to a part of the rechem that usually the ober does not touch. Do we say that it's considered Kedusha's Beis HaRechem, and not Amalei. So Rab Zeira told Rab Yirmiyah, Kanagis be Bayadi Bayalon. You're touching on a Shiloh that we once asked. The Bay Rab Zeira himself once asked, Amilah, some say Bayimine, Rab Zeira asked, Oymen Rubala Paras. What happens if some of the inner area was removed? Oymen Rubala Paras is a Erev and Sugya. But what happens if some of the inner layer was removed? So you have more Oymate, you have more that what where nothing was removed, then parts where something was removed. For Yatzah Derech parts. And then when it came out, Derech the Beis HaRechem, it went out from the part of the Beis HaRechem where that inner layer was removed. Or it was parts Meruba Ala Oymed. More of it was removed than was removed. The Yatzah Derech Oymed. So the Gemara said like this, Ad Kan Lo Yiboyeles. Reb Zeri said, this whole Shaila that we cleared was Elo parts Meruba Ala Oymed. The Ika Oymed Boyelon. It was only where it was parts Meruba, but at least it was Oymed and it was Yatzah Derech Oymed. So true, a lot of the inner layer was removed, but not all of it, and the part from which the fetus emerged from its mother was where it had not been removed, and there was a shayla. Avol nigmamu, Rav Zeira told Rav Yirmiyah, your case where it was completely removed, it's not paritz meruba ala oimed. All there is paritz, everything was nifrat. Over there, like Kemi Bayalei, no one ever cleared such a shayla, and as a result, even though the first shaylas in the Gemara were teku, but says the Gemara, as it relates to this, at least this very last shayla, Rav Yirmiyah shayla, it's pashit, if all of it was removed, there would be no kedusha zok. The Mishnah Vaita Behema Shemesil Bru. Again, me inyan, le inyan, ba'isa inyan. A behema that has an uber. And the uber died betoich meyer, inside the womb of its mother. The shepherd stuck his hand inside the womb of the mother. The nagaba, and he touched this dead fetus. The halacha is bein bebehema tameya, bein bebehema tahara tahar. It doesn't matter if this animal is a behemoth male, like a chazir. It doesn't matter if the behemoth is a behemoth tahara, like a para. Either way, the raya is tahar, meaning he doesn't become tameh, despite the fact that he touched this dead fetus. This is a chiddush. Because luchura, why don't we look at the uber as a behemoth? V'chol behemoth ba behemoth, right? It's a behemoth. And it's a dead behemoth. A dead behemoth is also known as a nevela. A nevela is also b'achila. A nevela also has tumma. Tumas nevela. So luchura, you would think that it should be tummy, but that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it doesn't matter if it's a behemoth tahira or if it's a behemoth tahmeya. The halach is going to be tummy. Rabbi Yosef Lili says, b'tmeya tummy, u'b'tahira tummy. No, it's not true. It depends. If the mother of the animal is a behemoth tahmeya, if we're dealing like a chazir, or gomel, or shafan, or arneves, or a kelev, or any other non-kosher animal. So then the halacha is that if you touch the uber, you're going to be tameh. If, however, the mother was a behemoth tahira, then the halacha is going to be tar. So we have a machloikis, Tanakama, and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. If somebody touches the fetus, a baby, an uber, inside its mother's womb,
It was dead. Is there Tumas Nevela or not? According to the Tanakhama, there's no Tumas Nevela. It doesn't matter if the mother was a Behemoth Tahira. It doesn't matter if it's a Behemoth Tumeya. There is not going to be Tumas Nevela. Yesi Aglili says it depends. If it's a Behemoth Tumeya, there will be Tumas Nevela. If it's a Behemoth Tahira, there will not be Tumas Nevela. Zok the Gemara, my time in the Tanakhama. What's the Pshat in the Tanakhama? Am Rav Chizda Kal V'Chaymer. Tanakhama knew his position, Mikal V'Chaymer. In Mahilo, Imer Latir Bachilo, Lei Toyole, Le Tahira, Midei Nevela. We know that Loch is the theme of the parak. Behema Amakasha, that if you shecht a mother and there's an uber inside, the shechita works for the uber. So Madach, the mother, could be matter the uber lachila. Kal v'chaymer, says the Gemara, it could be metaher. It could be matar the uber as well. So if you would shecht the mother, the uber would be mutar lachila. If right now the mother is tahar, why? Because she's alive. Then it should be able to be metaher the uber as well, despite the fact that the uber is dead, and it should say that the uber is going to be tar, a very big chiddush. But either way, it says the Gemara, im hoy iloy imoy lahatirei b'achila, when you shecht it, loy toyolei l'tahir b'dein aveilo, because right now it's alive. So if the mother's alive, that means that the uber should not be able to contract Tumas Nevela, despite the fact that it's dead. Says the Gemara, Ashkam Behemoth Tahira. Okay, that's a nice makar for Behemoth Tahira, where the halacha is that if you shech the mother, the child is going to be Motu Bachila. So Kal V'Chaymer, it's Metayra Midei Tumas Nevela as well. Behemoth Tmeya, where there's no Shechita, which is never going to be Mutter, so you don't have the building block of the Kal V'Chaymer Minol. And so how do you know? The Tanakhama said it doesn't matter if the Behemoth is a Behemoth Tmeya or if it's a Behemoth Tahira, either way, the Uber is not going to have any Tuma. Says the Gemara, Amakra, you're right. That has to learn that from a pasuk, and this is one of the many psukim in the end of Parsha Shmini. So we've learned a lot about Parsha Shmini together. The first half of it is kachim, and then you have all the halacha is about the mafras, as parsa, and the malas geira, and then the snapper and the kaskeses, and then the oif and the chagov. The very last part of Parsha Shmini, the part that we spent the least amount of time on, talks about the halachas of tumas nevela, and tumas shrotzen, the shmei shrotzen I mentioned it. So a lot of the halachas of tumah as it relates to animals, you have the kosher animals, non-kosher animals, they have all the dinim of tumah. So one of the psukim in that over there, it says as follows: v'chiyamus mena behem. I'm reading from the side. Achahi lochem laachla means a kosher animal is going to die. Hanegeya benevlasa yidma ad arf. If somebody touches the nevela, he's going to be tameh ad arf. Now at first glance, the pasuk seems to say that the only time you have tumas nevela is if it's a kosher animal. If an animal that you're allowed to eat dies, so then the halacha is anegeh ben evlasa. But we know that's not the truth. We know that halacha is that a kosher animal and a non-kosher animal equally are tame in the event that they're dead. So the Gemara darshins this pasuk. You have no choice. You can't read this pasuk kipshutai. So what you need to say is as follows: v'chiyomis ben abehem of the first half of the pasuk zubehem tmeya. That's really talking about a behem tmeya. Asher hilochem laachla. The second part of the pasuk, zu behemah tayra. And if that's the case, the pasuk mentions behemah tayra, it doesn't really mention behemah tmeya. But through this drush, you have a behemah tmeya and a behemah tayra, both mentioned in this pasuk. So now we can make a hekish, iskish, behemah tmeya, le behemah tayra. Man, behemah tayra veris ubra tar, just like the behemah tayra, it's ubra is tar. Why? That was the Kal V'Chaymer of Chizda's Kal V'Chaymer. When it comes to Behemet Meya, the Uber is going to be Tar as well. Rabbi Yosei Aglili, my time. What's the Pshat Rabbi Yosei Aglili? Rabbi Yosei Aglili said, B'Tmeya Tameh, U'B'Tahayra Tahar. So what's the Makar to that? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak to Amakra. He learns it from another Pasuk. And this is also one of the Psukim mentioned in Parsha Shmini. The Pasuk over there says as follows. It's in the same context, the same exact Parsha. They're both Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph. It says, V'chol Hoylech Al Kapav, any animal that's Hoylech Al Kapav, B'chol HaChayo HaHayleches Al Arba, T'meyim Heim Lochem, Kol Anegeya B'Nevlosam, Yitma Ad Ha'arif. And it's just kedai to know the end of the Gemara before we start the Gemara. What the Gemara is going to darsh from this pasuk is that when it says v'chol hoylech al kapav, an animal that walks al kapav, it's referring to an animal that does not have split hooves. Take a look at Rashi. Al kapav she'ein parsoisov sedukos. Rashi and Chumash says something similar. The point is, it's a non-kosher animal, and it says that a hoylech al kapav b'chol hachayo ha'hoyleches al arba. It's inside another animal that's hoyleches al arba. That too, the Gemara is going to say. Again, at the end of the Gemara. But that too, the Gemara is going to say, means a non-kosher animal. Because only a non-kosher animal is hoylech al arba. A kosher animal, being that it has split hooves, is hoylech al shmoina. So we're dealing with a non-kosher animal It's inside another non-kosher animal because it's halachas al arba. It's not halachas al shmoina. And the pasuk says, "Tmeim hem lachem, they are tamei. You can't eat them." And kol anegeya b'nevlasam yidma the arba. Not just that, like we said before, even a non-kosher animal has tumas nevelas. So let's see the gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak said the following drash. It says, "B'chol heilach alka b'chol b'chayu lachas b'chayim mahalche kapayim b'chayu temesi l'cha." That any time you have a mahalche kapayim, a non-kosher animal b'chayu, and it's inside another animal, the halach is temesi l'cha. It's going to be tamei. That's how you know that the dead fetus inside an animal. If that's the case, meaning the criteria is, if it's a non-kosher animal, it's a hoylech al kapov, and it's inside a chaya, it's tameh, then kolot bimei para litameh. Then if you have a non-kosher animal that was born from a kosher animal, this was Reb Shimon's infamous kolot bimei para. Right, if a para, which has split hooves, gave birth to a baby that didn't have split hooves, the halach is that it should be tameh. Why? The mahalche kapayim b'chayahu. Because it's mahalche kapayim b'chayah. Who said not? Reb Yisak Levi said not. What did Rabbi Yosef Glili say? B'tmeya tamei b'tayra tar. He says, you look at the mother. If the mother's tamei, then the uber is going to be tamei. If the mother's tar, then it's going to be tar. It's not true. In this case, the mother's tar and the baby should be tamei, because if the makar is anything that's hoylech hakapav inside a chaya is tamei, then if it's a hoylech hakapav even in a kosher mother, the halach is that it should be tamei. And Rabbi Yisrael didn't say that in the Mishnah. What's the teretz? Teretz is what we spoke out. The teretz is mahalche kapayim mahalche arba. V'hai mahalche arba b'mahalche shmoina. It has to be a mahalche kapayim in a mahalche arba. Because what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says v'chol hoylechal kapov b'chol achaya haylechas al arba. And being that the para does have split hooves, so it's a mahalche shmoinos. As a result, it doesn't meet the criteria of the pasuk for when it should be tame. Says the Gemara, para b'mei gomel loyte tame. A para b'mei gomel. If a gomel gave birth to a para. So the halacha should be that it should not be able to be, it shouldn't become tame. Why? Because the para is a mahalche shmoina b'mahalche arbahu. So the Gemara says, Hoylech, the chol. Right, so, and where do you see not that way? Because the Mishnah again is mashma, that bitmeya tame, that as long as the mother is tame, the offspring is automatically going to be tame. Why is the offspring automatically tame? There's two criteria. You need the baby should be a mahalche arba, and you need the mother should be a mahalche arba. In this case, the baby is a mahalche shmoyna. The Gemara says, I hear, but the chol hoylech, le rabbi's par be mei gomel. It said, the chol hoylech al kapa, the chol is coming to be marked. Kol would be mei kluta litame, says the Gemara. What about this case? What about if you had a kolot bimei para, which is kosher? Reb Shimon is a das yochid that holds it's a problem. But the pashtus is a kolot bimei para is a kosher animal, even though it doesn't have split hooves, but his mother has split hooves. So that's enough for it to be a. It's enough for it to be a kosher animal. So says the Gemara, kolot bimei kluta. That so this kolot that was born from a para, which is a kosher animal that does not have split hooves, now has an uber inside of it, and oh, coincidentally, this uber also doesn't have split hooves. Interesting. So the question is, in that case, it should be tamei, even though the baby is a kosher animal and the mother is a kosher animal. And the reason it should be tamei is because even though they're both kosher, the mahalche arba but mahalche arba hu. They're both mahalche arba. And from the Mishnah's mashma, not that way. Because when the Mishnah says, ubetayra tar, as long as the mother is tar, it's going to be tar. L'chayra, in this case, the mother's tar, and really based on the drasha, it should be tameh. So the Gemara says, let's clarify. L'hach yahani kavachayimah d'Rav Chizda. That even Rabbi Yisrael Glili agrees with the kavachayimah Rav Chizda. What was Rav Chizda's kavachayimah? That a kosher baby inside a kosher mother for sure doesn't have tovens tevela. Because madach, if you would check the mother, you'd be able to eat the baby. Kal v'chaymer, the mother should protect the baby and say that, being that the mother's tahar, so right now there can't be any tumas nevela on the baby. So that's pashit, that a kosher and a kosher is tahar. Yosef Glili didn't need a drasha for that. Where Rabbi Yosef Glili needed a drasha was to tell me the tummy. If there's a tzat tumma, this is where he needs his drasha. So what did he learn from his tzat? Tummy and tummy is a problem. That's the pasuk that teaches me a tummy inside a tummy is going to have tumas nevela. And what about the case where you have a tar inside a tummy? That's learned out from the v'chol hoylech. The rabbi is even a tar b'tummy, even a parah b'mei gomel. But the Gemara asks one final kashka. Mask of the rabbi t'choy barami. chazir b'mei chazirta lo'i l'tamei. A chazir inside a chazirta shouldn't be tamei. The reason is, the mahal cheshmeida, mahal cheshmeida. Because we know a chazir is a non-kosher animal. But really, chazir has one of the two simonim. Which simon does it have? It's mafreses parsa, she's sashes. So as a result, it's a hoilech, not al kapov, it's a hoilech al shmeina. It's inside a hoilech al shmeina, a chazir b'toy chazirta, right? Ben benoy shal chazirta. So it's a chazir b'toy chazirta, and if that's the case, it should, even though it's non-kosher, but as it relates to this halacha, it should be tahar. Rabbi Yisrael doesn't sound like he holds that way. What Rabbi Yisrael Lili say? V'tmeya tami b'toyer tar. It doesn't matter why it's a tmeya. It doesn't matter if it's a tmeya because it doesn't have split hooves, or even if it's the chazir that has split hooves, it's tami because it's not malageir. At the end of the day, so how does Rabbi Yosef Aglili's rule stem with Chazir and Chazirta if the Makar to Rabbi Yosef Aglili is Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha? And the Gemara was so compelled by this question, and the Gemara said, Elom Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Mehacha. You're right. You have to say the Makar is something else, a different pasuk. Also, Sefer Vayikra, this is not Parashat Shmini, this is Parashat Vayikra. It's Vayikra Perakeh, and this is in the context of the Karban Oila V'yoyret. So we know the certain Averis that if a person does, amazing even, or certainly B'shoigig, where rather than being obligated to bring your typical Karban Chatos, he has the option to bring either a Chatos Behema, or Shnei Torah, or Shnei Bnei Yoyna, or even a Karban Mincha, and it really depends on his financial status, depends on what he can or cannot afford. One of the examples is if somebody was Tameh, and he either ate Kachim, or he entered the Beis HaMikdash, in the state of Toma. It's what's known as Tomas Mikdash V'Kadoshav. It's Mesachta Shfuas 101. It's the first very long sugya in Mesachta Shfuas. The halach is Tomas Mikdash V'Kadoshav Behelem Dava, with some element of Shigaga, has to bring a carbon oil v'yar. And the Torah over there describes the state of Toma that this person was in when he either ate Kachim or entered the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Pasuk, Nefesh Ki Siga B'chol Tomei, Oy ben nivlas chaya tmeya, oy ben nivlas behema tmeya, oy ben nivlas sheretz tameh. Says the Gemara, it sounds like the only time you have the laws of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav is if this person came in contact with the nevela of a behema tmeya. Is that true? A non-kosher animal? V'chi nivlas behema tmeya metama ubetayra loy metama ela ezer ze uber. It must be that there is one time where it's only the behemoth tmeya that's metama, the behemoth tahor is not. When is that? Uber shebet tmeya tame ubetahor tahor. So this is a whole new drasha. Ella, right? Ella means a whole new drasha. Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. The makar to Rav Yosef Aglili is not from that pasuk of Parashat Shmini. It's from this pasuk. But the Gemara asks an interesting question. Umiachad and afkalim to Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. To Rav Yitzchak lomeli. Once we have Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's drasha, we seemingly don't need Rav Yitzchak anymore. If we don't need Rav Yitzchak, what do we do with Rav Yitzchak's drasha? Says the Gemara. Loved Rav Yitzchak, have a mina kulei, look at the Rebbe with the asa. Had we not had Yitzchak's drasha, I would have used Rav Nachman Yitzchak's drasha for something else. What's that something else? The Kamon Daf Ayin Al. That's tomorrow's daf. In tomorrow's daf, we're going to see Rebbe learn something else out from this pasuk. And as a result, as much as Rav Nachman Yitzchak sounds like a nice drasha, it actually doesn't have enough legs to stand on because it's a shaky drasha. And the reason it's a shaky drasha is because there may be another application for this drasha, as we're going to see in tomorrow's daf. So at the end of the day, as much as we had a kasha on Rabbi Yitzchak's drasha, what was the kasha? Chazir b'chazirta, and we had a command to Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, we still need Rabbi Yitzchak. We still need Rabbi Yitzchak, because Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak's drasha itself won't be enough. Kamash Malon, between Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak and Rabbi Yitzchak, we have it all worked out. Again, we'll see more about that in tomorrow's daf. The bottom line is the Mishnah said a halacha, Behema Shemes Ubra B'toich Me'el. Very straightforward. The Raya stuck his hand inside the rechem of the mother and touched this dead fetus. Is it tamei or is it tar? Machlokes. Tanakhama says bein behem betamei bein behem betahir tar. Always going to be tar. Rabbi Yosef Aglili said betamei tamei betahir tar. My time in the Tanakhama. My time to Rabbi Yosef Aglili. My time in the Tanakhama. A behem betahir that has a dead fetus inside of it. It's posh that if the roya touches the fetus, it's not going to be tamei. Kal v'chaymer. Because madach you would shech the mother, you'd be able to eat the ober. So you see, the mother could be
protective over its child. It could be matter its child ba'achila, even though the child itself never had a shechita. So kavachayim as it relates to tumah, if the mother's tahar because it's alive, kavachayim the uber is going to have to be tahar. That's only good for behemah tahar. We have a hekesh between a behemah tmei and a behemah tahar from one of the many psukim talked away in the end of parashas Shmini. Thus, I know the halacha is true not only for the behemah tahar we have the kavachayim, but it's true for the behemah tmei as well. What about Rabbi Yosef Aglili? Rabbi Yosef Aglili said it depends. If the uber was in a behemah tahar, it's tahar. If it's in a behemah tmei, that it's going to be tummy. So the Gemara says, as it relates to being in the behemah tahara, being tar, ahani le kavachaymer the Rav Chizda. He agrees with Rav Chizda's kavachaymer. He just didn't agree with the second part of Rav Chizda. First part of Rav Chizda, he agrees. So the second thing Rabbi Yitzhak Lili said, betahara tar, that's pasha. That's Rav Chizda's halacha. He agrees with the kavachaymer. The mother being alive is the reason that that uber doesn't have tumas avail. The question is, why is it that in a behema temeya it's going to be tame? And what emerged was two sort of complicated drushes. One really complicated, Reb Yitzchak's drusha, which is learned from a pasuk, v'chol hoylech al kapov, v'chol achaya hoylechas al arba. And the Gemara darshan says, v'chol hoylech al kapov is a behema temeya. V'chol achaya. It's an uber. It's inside. It's like yesterday's Joshua. V'chol behema ba behema. It's inside a chaya ha'ilechas al arba. Also a non-kosher animal. The halacha is t'neim heim lochem. This chiddush that a dead uber inside a live mother in a non-kosher animal is going to be tamei. The Gemara said that's not a perfect drasha, because although that drasha would work for every non-kosher animal in a non-kosher animal, but really it works for everyone but one, the chazer. Because the chazer is non-kosher, but at the same time, it's not a hoylech al kapov, and it's not a hoyleches al arba, because it has split hooves. So it's a shmoina b'toich shmoina. So it doesn't work for that. Ahanile, for that he needed a second drasha. That's from Nachman by Yitzchak's drasha, the pasuk in the parasha of Karbon Oil of Yairid, where it talks about Tumas Mikdash V'Kadoshav, and the pasuk over there describes that how did the person become tummy? It came in contact with the nevel of a behemoth tmeya. As if to say, it has to be an nevel of a not, and if somebody touched an nevel of a kosher animal, then he entered the Beis HaMikdash, there's no Tumas Mikdash V'Kadosh. Of course there is. Elamai, there must be some chiddish, some chumrah in the nevel of a behemoth tmeya that you don't have in a behemoth tmeya. What's that chumrah? The uber of a behemoth tmeya. When it's dead, it's tummy. A behemoth tmeya is not. These are two drushes. Mark says, once I have the second drusha, why do I even need the first drusha? So for that already, we're going to have to wait until tomorrow's off, because the Gemara says as much as we have the second drasha, it's a little shaky. Thus, really, it's a combination of the two drashas. So the daf really has been taking care of the raid. So Bezus Hashem, hopefully tomorrow we'll get to speak out some raid in some of these very geschmacka lumdisha, but also not so easy sugis in Perek Behema Makash.
I think it's kedai to pick up a little bit where we left off yesterday and do a little bit of a part two. So in yesterday's daf, we saw a very big chiddush. The Torah says, "V'anshei kodesh tion li, u'basar basada treifa, loisai chelu lakelov tashlichan oisai." Which pashut means this something called an iser treifa. What's iser treifa? That was the last month of daf yomi. That's perik elu treifas. But we saw that Chazal learned another halacha from this very same pasuk. Chazal said, "Kivan sheyatza basar chutzlim chitzasai nesar." That from this pasuk we learn that if you have basar that has a mechitza and the basar leaves its mechitza, at that point it's going to be aser to eat from that basar again. What are examples of that? One example is a behema makasha leleid v'hoitzi uber es yadai v'hechzira. Even though the Mishnah says mutav achila, but the yad is going to be also achila. Shita's Rav, Shita's Shmuel, Rabbi Yechon's Chaylik, Tiyufta the Rabbi Yechon, Tiyufta. But the bottom line is, it's negeyim mesach teschul and daf samaches. Another example, like we saw on Amid Beis, which we saw is really a gemara mesach teshmakis daf yudches. The Rambam brings in Hilchas Maisa Karbanas in Perek Yud Aleph, and that is that as it relates to kachim. If you would have Basar Kachim Kadashim that would leave the Azara, or Basar Kachim Kalm that would leave Yerushalayim, or Maisa Sheni Bikurim that would leave Yerushalayim, the halacha would be that at that point you wouldn't be allowed to eat the food that left its respective mechitza. And not just that, if somebody would eat from it, he would be over this Issa Dairaisa of Ubas and Basada Trefa Loisachel, which the Rambam says very clearly is a lav sheyesh by Malkus. The bottom line is two distinct, at first glance, completely disparate halachas that are both learned out from the same pasuk. Ubas and Basada Trefa Loisachel, number one, the Issa Trefa, number two, this Isser Yoitse. Now, Kipshutai, the Issa Trefa is learned out from the word Trefa. Ubasa Basada Trefa Loisachel. Where'd Chazal see the Issa Yoitse? It's because the word Basada Chazal thought was superfluous. Basar basada treifa? And what if you found it in the shlachtos? What if you found it in the barn? What if you found it in your house? It would be the same halacha. Why did Torah say the word sada? To darshan a second rasha. Ubasar basada lo yisachelu. As if to say, ubasar basada lo yisachelu, ubasar treifa lo yisachelu. Basar basada lo yisachelu, that's teaching me the isser yoytse. Basar treifa lo yisachelu, that's teaching me the isser treifa. This is something that is poshet that emerges from Mesachtes Chulin Daf Samaches and Mesachtes Chulin Daf Samachtes. The truth is, there's another Gemara. And this Gemara is Mesachtes Chulin Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, it says in the Torah, Parshas Re, Lo Yisoychal HaNefesh Im HaBasar. And we learn from this at Eivim Menachai. This is the law in the Torah that a person is not allowed to eat Eivim Menachai. When it says in the Torah, meaning not only are you not allowed to eat an Eivim Menachai, you're also not allowed to eat a Basa Menachai. Rish Lakish Amar, Rish Lakish says, Lo yisoychal ha-nefesh im ha-basar, ze eivim min ha-chai, u basar min ha-chai. U basar basar da treifa, lo yisoychalu, ze basar min ha-treifa. Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish had to learn the pasuk, u basar basar da treifa, lo yisoychalu. According to Rabbi Yochanan, u basar basar da treifa, lo yisoychalu, is the makar to basar min ha-chai. Lo yisoychal ha-nefesh im ha-basar, ze eivim min ha-chai. U basar basar da treifa, lo yisoychalu, ze basar min ha-chai. According to Rish Lakish, Basa Menachai and Eva Menachai both learned out from Loisaychel and Nefesh Mabasa. What's Ubasa Basa to Treva Loisaychel? What we always thought it was. Ze Basa Menachai. But I'll copon him, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yochanan. Shahalacha Kemoisai, Bechal Makam Lebar Miklas, the Makar to Basa Menachai is from the Pasig, Ubasa Basa to Treva Loisaychel. If you take a look at Rashi, and in Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos both learn. I'm going to read Rashi. Ubasa basada, mashma, shepiresh mimikoyma. It's mashma that the basa was pirish from its makom. We know, we saw it in today's daf, that the isa is the menachai, and basa menachai doesn't just mean that you go and you take a live animal and you just bite into it. If an aver of the animal is taken off of the animal itself, and you go ahead and eat that, that's also Eivim Menachai. If you schneid a stick fleisch from a live animal and you eat it, that's also Basar Menachai. So Rashi, Ubasar Basada, Mashma Shapirish Mimkoimai. It's Mashma that it was Pirish Mimkoimai, and Zeh Ubasar Menachai. The taich of Ubasar Basada means the Basa that was supposed to be on the animal, you found Basada, you found it sitting in the field. And that's where Rabbi Yochanan learns from the Pasuk, Ubasar Basada, Treifa Lo Yisachel, there's something called Basa Menachai. The Treifa Zok Rashi, as it relates to the word Treifa, Kimashmoy. That's already Mashmoy, Kimashmoy. In other words, Rashi's saying, Avada Rabbi Yochanan learns like Reish Lakish, that there is a Treifa learned out from Ubasar Basada, Treifa Lo Yisachel. You think Rabbi Yochanan didn't know that? Of course, Rabbi Yochanan Deilu Treifas, and he knows Ubasar Basada, Treifa is the makar to that. But Rabbi Yochanan held that there's another lav that's learned out from this pasuk. And that other lav is Ubasa Basada. It says Ubasa Basada. And what is Basa Basada teaching me? It's teaching me that basar that was supposed to be on the air, you have this live animal and it should be part of the basar of the animal. And now you found it lying around in the field. That too loisechelu. But it's ki'ilu nemar Ubasa Basada loisechelu Ubasa treifa loisechelu Basa Basada loisechelu. That is the Issa Basa Menachai Basa treifa loisechelu. That's what we know as the Issa treifa. And as always, Mavur from Taisus as well. Rashi and Taisus both learning the same way that headed Rabbi Yochanan see Basa Menachai in this pasuk because he was bothered with the word Sada, Ubasa Basada, and that's how we came to this. Truth is, the Muscharishan, just looking at this Gemara, I thought, can this be Rabbi Yochanan Lishitasai? Rabbi Yochanan in Arsugi doesn't look like he holds of Ubasa Basada, Kivin Chiyasa, Basa Chutzlam Chitzasai. The Gemara said, Tiufta to Rabbi Yochanan, Tiufta. But the bottom line is, what is Rabbi Yochanan going to do with Ubasa Basada? Rabbi Yochanan Lishitasai, Chulun Kof Beis on Beis. He learns it to teach me a similar halacha, but something else. Not Kivin Chiyasa, Basa Chutzlam Chitzasai. That's not what Sada is coming to teach me out of the Mechitza, but it's off the goof. Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that the Issa Basa Menachai is not learned out from Lo Yisrechal Nefesh Mabasa. But rather, it's learned out from Ubasa Basada. But the bottom line is, whether that is Pshat Rabbi Yochanan, not Pshat Rabbi Yochanan, could be it's Pashat that that's Pshat Rabbi Yochanan. But either way, we have over here three halachas, three laven that are learned out from the same pasuk. Because the halacha, the Rambam, paskins the regular Issa Treifa, The Ram Paskin Shitas Rav, we mentioned Kumoisha Biyarnu Bilchas Machalas Asuras, that was the whole brisker of that Basa Kimisha Yatsa Chutzlam Chitzasa is Nasa. And the Rambam, as you would expect, Paskins like Rabbi Yechim and Keneged Rish Lakish, that from Ubasa Basa the Trefa Loisai Chelo, we learned this halacha of Basa Menachaiso. So there's three halachas that I learned out from Ubasa Basa the Trefa Loisai Chelo. Three lam, fascinating thing. There is a Trefa that everybody knows. Additionally, the Psul Yoitse, the Isra Yoitse, and additional to that, these are three lavin that are imdim beruma shaloylam, and they're all learned out from the same pasuk. And Nachum, just to chazer over, because this is going to segue into the next part of this. How do we learn that? Ubasar treifa lo yisachelu is a treifa, but didn't have to say sada. So we darshan as if it said ubasar basada lo yisachelu. And really, two limudim. Rav's memra in chulin daf samaches, it left its mechitza. That's what sada means. Rav Yechon's memra in chulin kuvbeis, it was pyresh, and that's what this means over here. Stating that, if you take a look at the Rambam, in Hilchas Macholis Asurois, Perik Dalit Halachayot, says the Rambam, V'chein achoytech basa menacha. If somebody chops off a piece of basa from a live animal, minatahirim, from the kosher animals, hare oisa basa trefa, that basa is a trefa. V'ho'icha mimenu kizayis loika mishum trefa. And if somebody goes and somebody eats a kizayis from it, you're going to get malchus for being over the issa trefa. Sharei basa zem mi behema shaloi nishchata. Because this basa came from behema shaloi nishchata. V'loi meis, Umali treifa oisa chaya, mali chotcha besakin, mali bekula, mali miktsasa. Hare you oimer ubasa basada treifa loisa chelo, kivichanasa behema basa basada, hare he treifa. The Rambam's paskin, Rabbi Yochanan Zalach and Chulin Kofez on the base. But the Rambam says one thing that Rashi and Tosa didn't say. Vechena choitech basa menachai, miratahirim, hare oisa ha basa treifa. And then the Rambam says, but the Rambam holds that if somebody eats basa menachai, he's actually eating treifa. That means there is a treifa in the world of the Rambam. There is a treifa in the world of the Rambam is basa menachai. That is what it is. It's there is a treifa. The Rashi seemed to learn, and Tosva seemed to learn, that the gedder of how Rabbi Yochanan learned his halach in this pasuk is not that basa menachai is treifa. It's ki'ilu nemar. The Rambam says no. The Rambam says when someone eats basa menachai, you're eating treifa. And if that's the case, it's mavur. It's mavur that the Rambam had a definition of treifa that doesn't, I think at first glance, but muscharishin reconciles so well what we thought. We know what a treifa is. We learned parakeilu treifas. We saw all the pictures. So we have an idea of what a treifa looks like. The Rambam saying basa menachai is treifa. At first glance, what sheich is? Rashi and Tosfos al chayre saying the poshim shat. Avada basa menachai is not treifa. Just like basa kibish yasa chutzam chitzasa is not treifa. Nor vas kilu nemar ubasar basada loisaychelu ubasar treifa loisaychelu. But the Rambam saying no, that ubasar menachai is treifa. He says it twice. Loike Mishum Oichel Treifa. Hare Oisa Abasar Treifa. So the Rambam is referring to it as Treifa, as if to say it's one Shem Treifa. Loishna if it's Basa Menachai. Loishna if it's one of the Treifas of Barakelu Treifas. If it's Nikav Areya. And at first glance, what does Basa Menachai have to do with Nikav Areya? L'chayritz. It's very, very sasa. The Hilgach Sam Sofer. On that Gemara, in Mesech Teschul, in Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis, so he says, I'm going to tell you what I think the Pshat in this Rambam is. The Rambam must have learned that the Taich of Treifa is when you have a live animal and you removed a little bit of Basa from that live animal. That is what's referred to as Treifa. Ubasa Basa the Treifa Loisachelu, you saw a Treifa lying around on the ground. If you go ahead and you're Teireif, a little bit of that, that's sitting there, you eat it, that's what the definition of treifa is. Treifa is, like Rabbi Yochanan says, Basa Menachai. That is the Taich of what a Treifa is. But it doesn't matter if that basar was Pirish Menachai because you went ahead and you were Pirish Menachai, or if it was Pirish Menachai because the Ze'ev came and he was tired of it and that's what caused it to be Pirish Menachai. At the end of the day, if there's basar lying on the side of the road or lying in the field that was Nifresh Menachai, that's what a treifa is, and the Torah says treifa loy seichel. And really, the Chasam Sofer says the ubasa basar the treifa loy seichelu is the basar that was Pirish from the live animal. Loishna, if the preacher happened al yedei an adam, Loishnaf the priest that happened, ayidei an animal. But here's the point. Chazal said there are certain times where if something was pyrish from an animal, meaning something happened to an animal, where we say that the existing animal is not going to be able to live anymore. When we see that, then the way we deher, the prisha, is not just I have a chai and something was pyrish min achai. The way I see it up over here is that the two were nifrash me each other, and it's not only the basar that you remove that we look at as being the treifa, but the remaining animal is also deemed as being a treifa. But if the entire behema became a misukenes, so then the way we look at it is if the zeev came and he chopped the animal into two parts. And it comes out basim and achai is literally the treifa. In other words, the taich of a treifa is where you have basa that was nitraf, it was nitlash from a live animal. That basin you're not letting eat. And I don't care if a person did it or if an animal did it. Call it basin and achai, call it treifa, whatever you want. That is what treifa is. There are times where if you go ahead and you do that, what's left is also going to be considered as if it was ripped apart. Now, the way it was ripped apart was you took A from B. But when you took A from B, you didn't just tear A from B, you tore B from A as well. It's Mali chati chazu. Shneim tarfam azev. Because punk the zev was holding on to the left ear, but the maisa, you tore the left ear away from the right ear, and really you tore the right ear from the left ear. I don't care what side of the animal, what aver it was that the zev physically got his teeth and put his clenches into. At the end of the day, you ended up tearing it apart. So really, just like the chelik that was torn apart is treifa, the chelik that's remaining is also considered a treifa. And that's what the general idea of treifa is. Then Chazal went, and took this and expanded it a little bit. That just like if you take an animal, you chop it into two. If it's a nikavareya, that's also going to be included. And if there's a hole in the pesakosis, etc. But the bottom line is, from the fact that the Rambam calls basa and achai treifa, it's muchach to me that the taich of treifa is basa that was perish menachai. Loishna yedei adam, that's the way you visualize your classic basa menachai. Loishna al yedei ze'ev, that's usually the way you visualize the halacha of treifa. And the point of the treifa of elo treifas is that when what was separated is such that it made such a profound difference on the live animal, then I look at the live animal as also being torn apart. Mali chati chazu. They were torn from each other. And just like this piece, I wouldn't be able to eat, even if a person did, it would be basa menachai. That part also not, because it's viewed as basam and achai, viewed as treifa. Again, it's all one shem, it's all going to be one thing. So really, the taich of treifa, this is the tricky part. The taich of treifa is not an animal that has some wound that's not going to be able to live. Treifa is when you tore apart a piece of an animal. That's why basam and achai fits right into the pshuta shel mikra, into the taich of treifa. Said Marnach Sam Sofer. What was the makar to the Rambam to learn this way? First glance, it sounds a little bit like Rashi must have learned it a little bit more pasha, right? What was the makar to the Rambam to learn that basam and achai is not just included in the pasuk of treifa, ubasa basada lo yisechelu, ubasa treifa lo yisechelu, but rather basam and achai hi treifa. Says the Chassam Sofer, you want to know where I think the Rambam got it from? He got it from Targum Unkelus. If you take a look at Targum Unkelus, va'anche kodesh tiyunli. What does Bisar Tlish mean? Basa that was torn, min cheva chayef, from a live animal, lo yiseich lun dechaber simen yasek. Unkelis, the ultimate pasht and taich, you know what ubasa about sada trefet lo yiseich elu, it doesn't say a word about perek elu trefes, doesn't say a word about anything. Upsar tlish min cheva chayef. He said basa min achay, which in of itself is a pella. He would taich it basa min achay, it doesn't make sense that he would taich it basa min achay. Oh, but the teretz is because really basa min achay is trefa, and trefa basa min achay is one and the same thing. But al koponim, the Rambam saw in Targum Unkelis Zoktach Sam Sofer that we're not just being marba from the extra word basada basam and achai. Ubas basada treva lo yisachelu. The taich of it is upsar tlish min cheva chaya. That is what the taich is, and being that that's what the taich is, that's why the Chassam Sofer said must be that basam and achai isn't just nisraba from the pasuk of treva from ubas basada, but really basam and achai is treva. The Chassam Sofer that we just mentioned is the Masechta Chum Daf Kuf Beis on that Gemara Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish. Really, the Chassam Sofer talks about this inyan a little bit in the beginning of Perek Elu Treifas Ayin Sham. It's a Hafeldiga piece, and over there he says that he found that his Rebbe Moiri the Hafla in the Sneif upon him Yafis already spoke about this inyan. So I looked up the Hafla. And the flaw goes with this same mahalach, that the makar to the Rambam is Targum Unkelis, and that's where the Rambam saw that this is the taich of the pasuk. The taich of the pasuk is the psar chivyu. And then he goes ahead and he says something beautiful. He says, "Venira the tama targum." I believe that the tama of the targum is mishun de medayik. The targum made a meir digadik. This is mamish beautiful. Targum made a diak. We know the Torah says, "What do you do with the treifa?" The Torah says, "La kelov tashlichan oisai." What do you do with the nevela? The Torah says regarding the nevela, "Lo yisoichlu kol nevela, lo gera shebesh arecho titneno v'achala, oy mochers lenachri kam kodesh atal Hashem lekech leisavash v'dechalevimah." Either give it to the ger toyshav or sell it to the nachri. And Rashi already asks the kasha: the why is it that the treifa you give to the kelev and the nevela you give to the nachri? In fact, Rashi says, "La kelev tashlicha noisei af ha'akum kekelev." That really, the akum is like a kelev. And if you want to go ahead and you want to give the treifa to the akum, avad you let it give it. Right, so why does it say, "La kelev tashlicha noisei"? Rashi says, "Tu pshatim ki yidua." But the bottom line is that Rashi was bothered with this dik. Why by the treifa does it say, "La kelev tashlicha noisei"? And why isn't that when it comes to the nevela, over there the Torah says, "What do you do with the nevela? You give it to the guy." Zok the hafla. I hold the unkelis was bothered with this kasha. He could understand pshutei shel mikra. Why here la kelev and why there do you give it to the guy? Hatargum unkelis fashtanin. You know what the pshat must be, because you know what this pasuk is saying. What this pasuk is saying is not just the is a treifa perikelu treifas. It's saying basam and achai. Basam and achai is one of the seven mitzvot bnei noach. And being that it's one of the seven mitzvot bnei noach, he can't give it to the guy. That's why in pshutei shel mikra it had to be la kelev tashlicha noisai. Unkelis was bothered with this grace. Kasha. This is what was driving Targum Unkelis. What was driving him is that why is it that when it comes to the treifa, it's like Kelev Tashlicha Noisai, yeah, when it comes to the nevela, you go ahead and you give it to the guy, must be, it's over here it's Basam and Achai, and being that it's Basam and Achai, over here it's going to be different. I saw in the Pirush Al HaTorah from Rabbeinu Avram Ben Arambam, it's just a beautiful sikum on this raid, says Rabbeinu Avram Ben Arambam, right? This is the Rambam's son. We have from Rabbeinu Avram Ben Arambam on Bereshis and Shemois, brand new Maduras, that the Magia is Yedidi, HaChacham HaGoyin, Ramoshi Maimon. But either way, so he says as follows, V'anshei Kodesh, V'goymer, Pashtei Dekra, Sha'anoshim Ba'isei Azman, K'moish Hayo Oichlen HaNevela, Hayo Oichlen Basar HaTreifa, K'moish Anu Roim Hayoim Eitzel HaYishmaelim, in parentheses, Shneim Oichlen Mashe Nitraf Bitzi Dasam, Afa Pisheim Oichlen Es HaMesa, L'chein Omar Kimen HaKdusha, She'timnu Es Atzmechem Me'achilas Basar She Nitraf V'loi Nishchat, K'moish She'timnu Es Atzmechem Me'basar HaMesa, V'chizek Es O'azor B'maim El'akelev, Loi Marki U'maychul Roi L'Groya She'B'Baligaru She'B'Baligayin. It belongs to the Grusha Balichai. Uboi gam taimim acher. Shohitziu hachachomim zah. But there are other halachas, says Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam, that the chachomim extrapolated from this pasuk. Echod mehem, ha'azora al basam en achai. K'moshabiyah ha'metargen. Ubosar tlish min cheva chaisa. V'hasheni ha'azora al achilo kol treifa. K'moy hadrusa ukoyotzaba. K'moy shenizbayar b'mesach tezchulun, daf mem gimel. V'hashlishi shehizra al achilos basa sheyotza chutz l'mchitzasai. K'moy basar pesach sheyotza chutz l'chaburasai. Ubasa basada vigoimer lafi zet lafi a hergel hanoida umashnitra bechotzer K'moisai, why we mention basadik, because that's usually where it happened. U'kazem mikro laila lafiyeh haroi v'harogol u'mikro yoim k'moisai. V'hatargum shapiresh by basot lushim bebehem achaya l'romaz le'evim menachai. Omnam tamze nichlam b'maymer ach basa b'nafshoi. There's another makar that Chazal gave for the Sheva mitzvahs. And then Rabbeinu Avram ben Aramam concludes v'lo yodati le'eze tam omar hatargum maymer zeh. I don't know why the Targum said this Maimon. Now, Ramoshi Maimon in his Ago over here brings a little bit of a tumul in the Mefarshi Rabbein Avram ben Arambam, like what he meant, what was bothering Rabbein Avram ben Arambam. But he comes out, and I think it's Pashat, that what was bothering Rabbein Avram ben Arambam is this three Mahalchim, this three Chazals that we learn from this Pasuk. Perikei lu treifes chun daf mem beis, u basa basa da treifa lo yisaychelu. Basa hakim ishi yatsa chusam chitzasai. Chulin Samaches, and then Basim and Achai, Chulin Kufbeis. So below your dati, I don't know the Ezatam Amma Targum. Why did the Targum feel that in the Pashit Pshat of the Pasik, you know what it's referring to? Upsar Tlish Min Cheva Chaisa. Mehechetesen at the other two. Below your dati, Rabbein Avram ben Aramam concludes with a kash. He says, I'm not sure why this is the Pshat that the Targum picked, but I think the Teretz is the Hafla. That's the Teretz. The Teretz is because the Pasik says, La Kelef Tashlichon Oisai. Why do you have to go ahead and give it to the Caliph, make a profit off of it. Maybe give it to the guy. The pasuk says by the nevela, lo yisoichlu kol nevela. So what do? Lagera shev b'sharecha titnei nevachala. I machar lanachri. I'm kadoshat laHashem aleikecha. The teretz is because the targum saw that the pashit pshat in this pasuk must be that we're dealing with something that even a guy is not allowed to eat. Must be it's pasim and achai. That's why the targum, who's being mefarish the most pashit pshat in this pasuk, how was he mefarish it? He was mefarish it with regards to basim and achai. This Panam Yafis could be the teretz to the Veloyodati Le'ezatam Amma Targum Maimazet. That's the teretz to Rabbeinu Avram ben Arambam's Kasha. Either way, three tremendous lavin that I learned out from this pasuk. Ubasa Basada Trefa Lo Isai Chela.